Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We back at the Silver Slipper Casino,
and Mike,
Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi.
All is well. That means everything going forward. We're looking forward to the season. We're back at the Slipper.
That's it.
Because to me, this kind of kicks off the season right here. They played a game. I don't know how you second guess a preseason game. I guess we might do a little bit of that. But I don't know. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. I still don't know about offensive line. Hello. The old line and Trevor Penning.
Eyes didn't lie to you.
Well, I'm trying to be optimistic.
Hey, but defensively, man, it didn't matter if it was first team, second team. Bob, the defense, man, they got after him, especially up front, the defensive line.
Put
and
pressure.
You saw the potential of what could be with Chase Young. Man, that poor guy trying to block him for the Cardinals. Man, he barely had an arm on him, and he was around him.
Well, hopefully Chase Young does that against Bryce Young, the very first game, right, against Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, you get a bunch of quarterback hurries, quarterback pressures. You get a sack or two, whatever. Then you're off to a great start. And, Mike, it might be a case in point when I look at my crystal ball that Chase Young is going to be so dominant. He's on that one-year deal. You know what's going to end up happening? I don't know. The Saints fans, we got to pay him. And will they pay him? Because somebody will pay him.
Somebody is eventually going to pay him.
9, 10 double-digit sacks.
Also, too, Brian Brisset, I thought. Man, he got a big push inside. You saw it. And even though he didn't play, his replacement, DeMario Davis didn't play in the game. But, man, DeMarco Jackson, Bob, he was around the football. He was active. And I think he might have finished either first or second in total tackles.
Well, no, Mike,
in the game.
No, Mike, he wasn't that good. He was okay. He had three tackles, but the guy that was Monty Rice, a veteran, he had seven.
He came in late.
Yeah, 7 unassisted tackles, and a lot like Chase Young, Willie Gay. Willie Gay had 5 total tackles. He had a tackle for a loss. So, you know, money well spent, who you bringing in. I would say, boy, they definitely hit in free agency with Willie Gay and Chase Young.
I like what I saw of DeMarco when he played. He was right there.
Yeah.
He converged on the football quickly, and he was really good to make the tackle. Willie Gay would intrigue me for him, and they did it a couple times. What I've been saying for weeks, Bob, use him as a pass rusher.
They will.
You saw him up on the line, similar to how they use Zach Bond and Caden Ellis in the past. You saw it real early with Willie Gay and his speed. No, I know one thing. Zach Bond and Caden Ellis, they can't run like what Willie Gay can. I mean, Willie has got another gear.
Well, if you look at it, you know how you design stunts and all that. DeMario Davis had 6.5 sacks. I think Willie Gay is going to have that. You know, can you imagine how they design? Because you do try and trick people. It's not always a 4-man rush. When they are utilizing stunts, I'm telling you right now, with the combination of everybody's healthy now, the combination of Willie Gay and DeMario Davis, they're going to have double-digit sacks together. Like I'm telling you, it's going to be one might have 6, one might have 4, or it might be 7, 5, or whatever. But they're going to have 10, 11, or 12 sacks just from that position, how they have a nose for the football. And then you throw in there the tackles for loss. You know, when all of a sudden and not because of a penalty. It's like 1st and 20 or 2nd and 15. But you know what? That was a nice play. Now it's 2nd and 12 because it's hard to sustain drives when you're going backwards instead of forward, to tell you the truth.
One of the things you saw in the second half, and Clayton Tune, he sort of took advantage of it. We see it a lot in college football today. All these crossing patterns that they run over the middle. That's to kind of confuse a defense. One guy makes a mistake, you got an open receiver.
And you got to be accurate with the football, and Clayton Tune was.
And I give Tune a lot of credit that he kind of was able to march him down there. But he used a lot of crossing stuff. Okay, so this wasn't the Saints' first team unit, and there was some mix in of second. But man, if I'm Carolina, I saw there was a little bit of drag back with it, especially with the rookie, and that's who I would go after.
I would go after
Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
In that spot. That my thing is, you see it a lot in college football, not quite as much in the NFL, but that crossing stuff, that was a little confusion there, and that's what I would throw at you. To stop.
Yeah, you got to be accurate because then you get the yards after the catch, and that's why it's so significant. You know, I was kind of joking. You know, Clayton Tunes, I said this before, he's dating my niece, and Billy, my youngest brother's daughter, and I knew he was at the game in Phoenix and in Glendale, and Billy was telling me, Bobby, this is ridiculous. I was so nervous, you know, because he thinks like he, because his other daughter married Miles Brennan. So as I'm watching these games, it's like it's my son. You know, I'm out there, and he goes, Bobby, I was watching a preseason game like it was the Super Bowl or something. Because, you know, whoever you know you want to play well. Well, I told him, you know, I wanted Clayton to do good because, you know, we're hanging out for 4th of July at Toledo Bend and all that. But I'm kind of fond of the Cardinals. And let me tell you why. Because the Cardinals helped the Saints win their first NFC West division title in 1991. We beat the Cardinals 27-3. So, you know, Clayton, after the game, was telling my brother, he says, well, I wanted to beat the Saints so I could talk crap. I could talk smack to Bobby, to Mr. Bobby. And I said, well, that's when I told him, I'm fond of the Cardinals because they helped us win the first division title. In a Saints uniform. But, you know, it's amazing how you have these relationships, and it's all about competition. And now, you look at Derek Carr. Well, what did Derek Carr in the first unit did? Now, Derek Carr completed just 2 of 6 passes, 12 yards. Obviously, a small sample size with the first unit playing. They just went, two series. But it was much different. If you remember last year at this time, Carr's preseason debut, last year he was 6 of 8 for 70 yards and a touchdown. Well, not so much. Again, like the first team unit, they only played 2 series, and it converted 1 first down on its opening drive, then went 3 and out on the second drive. But, Mike, they only had 9 plays. So they're trying to get any kind of rhythm.
He was off with his throws.
Yeah.
You got to say it.
And I think
he was off.
Well, he was off on that one throw because I think the rush – and
he got it backed up to him.
Well, yeah, like with Trevor Penning. I don't know. I've said this maybe 2 weeks ago. You might want Trevor Penning to work out, but will he work out? I'd say right now, probably not. Probably not. So that's why I've always said initially, Trevor Penning, to make it in the NFL, he could be a poor man's Dombrowski, maybe at guard.
Bob,
maybe,
he can't play there. I don't think he can play there. I'm saying maybe.
I'm not saying left tackle, right tackle, because he might have, you know, oh, we tried him at left tackle. We tried him at right tackle. Well, let's put him at guard. So then you got 2 strikes against you. Then if you don't make it at guard, then you're playing in the UFL or Canadian or something. You do.
Well, you're a former first-round pick. Somebody else will give you a shot.
Yeah, like Sean Knight.
Got, what, 3 or 4 shots?
Yeah, with the Vikings and Broncos and all that. So, yeah, listen, if you're a first-round draft pick, even though you can't play, they'll give you 4 or 5 years in the league. Just say, well, maybe it's going to finally click, you know, now that he has a little bit of experience. But, yeah, but then you look at, okay, what are we going to do at right tackle? Mike, and then you look at Odu.
Odu, man, he gets a hold and then he gets a false start.
And then he gets a false start. No, and I'm not being Debbie Downer. I guess I am if I say this. But right now, to me, this is the poorest Saints offensive line since I started doing this when Buddy DiLiberto wanted me to come back since Katrina. Okay, you
want
me to
say, agree with you on that.
You want me to say that again?
No, that's
and
true.
I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm just talking about the type of players we have in the Hall of Fame, like Jari Evans. I'll look at Carl Nix, Teron Armstead. You can go on and on and on. I think McCall, yeah, we got the right center. Cesar Ruiz is getting better. But then you got a rookie. For Fuaga, left
tackle. I like what I saw of him.
Yeah.
I like what I saw of Fuaga.
So you can't have 2 or 3 out of 5. Don't you have to have 5 out of 5? Kind of gelling together. So that's why I'm a little concerned. But even with that being said, there's no reason why we should not be 1-0 against Carolina.
I agree with you there. Bob, we'll go to break and we'll come back. We'll talk a lot more here at the second guest, Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, it's our second guest, Bobby J. Mike DeTellier along here at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. We've got Big John holding on. Big John in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, all you Hoodats at the Silver Slipper. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hoodat Nation from coast to coast and all the ships at sea. A long, brutally hot summer. Finally got a breath of semi-fresh air Saturday night because, as you said, Bobby, tackle football is back. And I can't tell you how relieved I am to finally get going on the season. And I think this season is either the year that Dennis Allen takes a step forward as a head coach, or this becomes his last year, because if I gauge myself as any mood of the Hoodad Nation, it's going to be playoffs or bust this year. And
doubt.
We got to
no
get off
question.
Okay. I'm going to make one observation. I'm going to get y'all to comment. And that is, I'm not going to make excuses for lack of production by the first string offense. I mean, they were definitely not, they didn't have it together. But it does seem to me that with, you know, the way the CBA has the amount of reps and practices and the time that you get to spend in camp these days, as well as having a new offensive coordinator and scheme, it seems to me that the defense is going to be well ahead of the offenses at this point.
Agree.
Well, and the same thing, Big John, with Clint Kubiak. Oh, I don't know. Was Pete Carmichael calling the plays? You know, you hear all kind of stuff, and they text you and everything. Like, oh, what? They're not game planning to beat the Cardinals, and they're not showing anything that you'll see in the first month of September or against Carolina and Dallas. You know, with the motions, and you're trying to outflank them and all. No, it's so vanilla, it's crazy. Now, I've said this. Individually, when I look at the Saints versus a number of NFL teams, if it's real vanilla, we're not necessarily that much better than them. You know, when it's just like, okay, you're going to play cover two or cover three, and really you're not challenged as a quarterback how you're trying to attack a defense, that it's so vanilla that man-to-man, we will not necessarily have success. We might have to trick them, but so what? If we trick them and it works and you score, that's what counts. That's why I'm so discouraged, because I'm not going out to California. I was going out because the 49ers, they all hurt. They all hurt. Now they practice one a day. How can they all be hurt? You know, we were worried about what the injuries we're dealing with. I'm looking at the 49ers right now. They canceled practice against the Saints, so we're not going to be going against them. I was so intrigued to see just in the line of scrimmage. Offensive and defensive line, even without Trent Williams, you know, who's a dominant tackle not being there. But when you look at it where the 49ers are at, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, you know, he has a calf. Everybody seems like has a calf this day and age. And then Fred Warner, the top linebacker like a DeMario Davis, he has a foot. So they all hurt. And you know,
and Ayuk is still holding out.
Yeah, he's still holding out. They're going to trade him or not trade him. You know, you look at the Saints. We had 12 players miss Saturday's preseason opener. Well, they're at the point right now, they doubled that, almost, like 23 players that are all hurt. So they said, well, we're going to play the game on Sunday night against the Saints, you know, next Sunday night, primetime game. But I don't think we can really practice like we want to practice, and we're not coming down to Irvine. So I'm kind of discouraged by that because, you know, you turn it up a notch. You're always going against one another. So you want to see, boy, in the heat of the battle, what you do against someone that you're not necessarily familiar with, that you're not practicing day in and day out. And I thought that Dennis Allen, that's one thing about Dennis Allen. Now you got to win. Dennis Allen might be the number one coach in the, not the NFL, but I'd say with the Saints, that have been so straightforward with the Saints. You know, Sean Payton would BS you about yeah. the injuries and all that or what's going on. No, the Dennis Allen is straightforward. He tells you. And it's like what he's saying is like the truth. And I haven't seen that in a while. But he said, he goes about not practicing against the 49ers. He goes, yeah, you want to. I enjoy the joint practices. I think it's good to get to practice against somebody else. But other than that, we're still going to get some good work here. that being in Irvine, before they go to San Fran to play Sunday night. I'm not really that concerned about it. So that was a little politician at the end, you know, saying that type of statement. But the one thing that was interesting, you know, because joint practices to me aren't going anywhere. You know, I kind of like it when we're in New Orleans, and they're a great team, a good team. Last year, they're trying to build upon that right in our backyard on Interstate 10, the Houston Texans. Way better than the damn Cowgirls. The Texans right now are the state champs, not Dallas. The Texans right now going forward are the state champs. So you practice against them, whether you're at home or you got to go to Houston. There's not a lot of travel involved. But the one thing, you know, when you've seen all these fights and when you have, you know, these exchanges and you have these, you know, practices that, you know, you want it to be highly competitive, you know, because you're going against it who's not your own. But I thought this was interesting with Dennis Allison. I said this is because I've been there. I remember we were practicing against the La Crosse, Wisconsin, the Detroit Lions. Oh, hell broke loose. There was fights everywhere. I mean, I don't know. The fans, don't they like hockey fights? Well, so if you have a football fight, who was Mike? The Giants and
Malik.
And the Giants and the Lions, they had a fight. All of a sudden, they're getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. The fans don't care if they fight.
It was the two first-round pick guys, Teron Arnold right. and Malik Davis. Man, listen, I know about Malik. Man, Malik, he you know, he might throw a punch, but then he's going to let the big guys jump in after that.
Well, the thing is Malik was burning him, and he couldn't handle
and
it.
And Arnold, he didn't like that.
But Dennis Allen, this is another true statement that Dennis Allen said before these practices were canceled going against the 49ers. He said, he explained why fights are more likely to happen maybe against one another when you practice. Because you still have practice, the offensive and defensive line in the trenches. But when you're going against another team in a joint practice. And he went on to say that it's more likely to happen on the second day. You know, like whether it's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And this is true what he's saying. That it's more likely to happen on the second day because you have the first day practice. One team or the other team, whoever it might be, your team and the other team, is going to feel like they got the better of the other team. Like, we whipped that ass. We got the better of them. And then the coaches, they go watch film, they end the meetings and all that, are going to yell at the players or saying, what the hell? Well, y'all didn't accept the challenge. You got whooped. So the next day, so they go to bed that night. The next day, their players are going to be ticked off. Now, Dennis Allen said pissed off. But they're going to be ticked off, and then that's how stuff happens, and then the fights break out.
You've been there before to see it.
Yeah, because the first day, well, we got humbled. And the coaches said, how are you going to respond? So all of a sudden, it's getting a little nasty, and they go, well, I'm really not going to get kicked out of game. It's a practice and all. So the NFL even knows this. So that's why.
Not even fining you for that.
Yeah, they want to have joint practices, but they don't want it to be where it gets out of control and just a free-for-all. But probably what I've heard, I wasn't there, probably the worst fight in a joint practice ever was in Macon County, Georgia, at the Nat line. You know, we all know about the Brulos, you know, the Nat line. In Macon, Georgia, they have that. The Eagles and Buddy Ryan came down to go against Atlanta. Now I was still with the Saints. And the Eagles and Buddy Ryan came down to Macon, Georgia to go against Jerry Glanville and the Falcons. I'm telling you, the police had to get between Jerry Glanville and Buddy Ryan. There was going to be a fight. The coaches were going to fight. And I'll tell you, it got out that they were going live, not on team drills. It'd be one-on-one pass receiver against the defensive back, and the receiver go across the middle, and like Jerry Glanville told Scott Case, whoever, Fred Barnett, whoever receiver was, just take him out. So he caught the ball and just knocked the crap out of him. So all of a sudden, it starts happening, and they do a few drills, and then the whole fight breaks out. And they just had to cancel practice. They went about their way. So it's not like this is the first time it's ever happened. This goes back to like late 80s, early 90s. This has happened before when teams are competing against each other and joint practices. So Dennis Allen was right on with that. because the coaches get on the players and say, come on, how are we going to respond? That was terrible. I know it doesn't count, it's just a practice, but what are you going to do the next day? How are you going to respond? And that's why it gets a little more violent.
Big John, you got something else for us, buddy?
No, that's it, guys. Look, hey, let's have a great season, and I can't wait to see you all at the Slipper so we can go two down on that great buffet.
There you go, bud. Thanks so much, Big John. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Jay in Metairie. Jay, you in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a question. So last week, the Saints courted Simmons, and I see the Honey Badger went to dinner with him. I heard that Pete Warner's contract was, they redid it, you know, in order to find the money. Now I read today that Simmons is in Atlanta visiting with the Falcons. So what's the chances of us getting him or not getting him?
Man, listen, all I know is the thing on Pete Warner, that really didn't really affect anything. From a contract standpoint, that just added maybe $1 million to the deal this year. So it's the Pete Werner deal really wasn't a direct effect on anything involving Justin Simmons. Now, what Justin wants and what the Falcons are willing to pay him is another thing. But you're right, Justin was in Atlanta today and will stay tomorrow in Atlanta. And all I can tell you is this. If Arthur Blank, the owner, wants him, he's going to be in Atlanta. Because it was Arthur Blank's decision to draft Michael Penix when that scouting department really wanted the defensive end. They wanted to try to help the team this year. But Mr. Blank, you know, he wanted the deal for down the road with a quarterback. So if he wins over Arthur Blank, and I know they don't have nearly the amount of cap space the Saints do, but, man, you can be real innovative money-wise. That is an intriguing deal that Atlanta, who didn't get the corner they wanted, have had injuries at safety.
Injuries at safety, that's the key.
They would team up Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons.
Well, the injuries at safety and look at the perception of where they're at. Preseason, I know it's preseason. You know, the strongest team from a national perspective to win the NFC South. So, literally, Justin Simmons, Mike, right now, he's a mercenary.
Yeah.
And now, Houdat Nation, with good riddance. He can go to Atlanta. I don't want to hear it. I'm telling you right now, if the Saints gave more money to Justin Simmons than
he'd sign with the Saints.
He'd sign with the Saints. And the Falcons give more money to the Saints, he'd sign with the Falcons. He's going with the money. And you might say, well, he's just greedy. No, he has that kind of stroke. Mike, now the safety position is down as far as what you actually paying safeties right now. But here's a guy that got skins on the wall.
Plenty.
And he's all pro. And here's a guy that has made a lot of money, but he wants to parlay that and saying, I'm not ready to take some kind of discount, maybe like Tyrann Mathieu or Honey Badger. You know, you look at his age. Mike, he's right at 30, right?
30 years old.
30 years old. So you might say, what's that? Honey Badger's not 4 or 5 years. That's a lot older than him. So that's why, I mean, you can like Justin Simmons, don't like him. He's going to end up with the team that pays the most money.
That's the bottom line with it. And now he's got two NFC South teams sort of bidding amongst one another to get him. But the guy here's the most important is Arthur Blank.
The owner.
You can be innovative with contracts.
And Gail Benson will not go against Arthur Blank. That would be like Mickey Loomis going against Arthur Blank.
Right.
Miss Gail's not getting involved.
Because if Arthur comes in there and he tells Terry Fontenot, you sign Justin Simmons, it'll be, Mr. Blank, we get it, and we're going to get him here in a Falcons uniform. But injuries and the fact that secondary in the practice sessions has been getting beat, Bob, that shows up, and I think they want to make a splash trying to get a guy. If the money's right, for Justin Simmons. Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Ponchatoula. Ponchatoula, you're in the huddle with Mike and Bobby.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
All right, sir.
All right, Ponchatoula.
I want to get y'all take on Trevor Pennington. Watching the other night, I gave him a D. Just want to get y'all take and just try to understand how you can miss so badly on a player like that. Because he just seems like he was just garbage the other night. I mean, I don't know what y'all opinion is, but I kept an eye on him the whole game, and just he was getting dog beat.
The right grade is a D for what Trevor did. But you know what? Everybody would have been wrong on Trevor because everybody kind of had him rated in that 17 to 21 range in round one. And we talked about it when he got picked. How could he adjust to an NFL pass rush from a technique standpoint? He looks like the same guy we saw a year ago. From a technique standpoint, he gets beat with a hard inside move. A lot of times he doesn't set his feet well. And, Bob, he gets kind of jacked right back into the lap of a quarterback off the edge.
Well, I think that if he can come downhill, because he is aggressive. He's not passive.
I think run blocking is not the issue.
But sometimes he's overly aggressive. And I always say this at the tackle position, that you don't have to be dominant where you're mauling people. You got to be like a dancing bear. I mean, are you occupying the guy trying to get past you and you chicken fighting with him?
He's got footwork and handwork.
Yes.
I can see it.
No, that's what
easily.
It is. And where I think the scouts and everyone was so enamored with Trevor Penny because he was so aggressive and wanted to just crush people. Well, who's that? It's a violent sport, football.
He was playing two at Northern. And so it's a hard look, because he's dominating everybody at that level as a pass protector.
But he's not. When Northern Iowa did not play against a team that had like a Chase Young.
No.
Or whoever. And so then you could be as aggressive as you want to be, and then they just get by you. Then that's why I'm telling you what's so impressive, like the Willie Rose, Teron Armsteads of the world. And they are dominant. They still got that mean streak, but the finesse. Right now, I guarantee you, Trevor Penning cannot dance. There's no way he can dance.
You don't have the footwork.
You know, you play any kind of music or the DJ and you go on there. I like to see Trevor Penning's moves. I bet he's a stiff. He is so stiff that I bet he ain't got no swivel hips and he can't. He's just stiff. I mean, I'll tell you, people think you just got to be a mauler. No, you have to have technique and finesse as an offensive lineman, especially out on the edge, because the type of guys you're going to be blocking.
Yeah, another thing, too, is which is consistent.
So anybody could send a video. I want to know if Trevor Penning probably danced at a wedding or something. I want to see if he ever danced. I want to see his moves, because I guarantee you, I saw that in a game. You know, he's falling on his face on the dance floor.
If it was left tackle or right tackle. If I'm playing against him, I'm coming inside. I'm not too worried about coming off the edge with him, because you can see his hand placement is wrong and it's a little stiff. But really his body, lower body adjustments to a real hard inside move is not there. And you just can't stick your hip out. Bob, that guy's going to run right through that hip and get inside on you.
Well, and I said that's why I wish they had the joint practices. And I said this.
Against Bosa?
At the point after, I said, you know what? Usually I watch the skill people, receivers, DBs, and on you watch the ball. I said, I'm going to go watch the line. What our line do against the 49ers line? And I kind of wanted to see, like, okay, Trevor Penning, we saw Chase Young. He gets beat three reps in a row. But Saga, like, with Bosa. To see if he'd be so discouraged that he might just quit. He might say, I'm not doing this anymore. Because Bosa, as dominant, Chase Young was on that 49ers team. As dominant as
Chase Young wasn't the number one banana.
Right. Chase Young, that's what Bosa. I'm saying. Like Bosa or T.J. Watt, no. No, and you got to chip with the running back and a tight end, help him out, but you can't do that every play.
The other thing, too, in game two, you're going to see Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Micah Parsons knows that Trevor Penny can't block him. But then they can have a game plan with a tight end running back to help out with that. But Dallas, But Dallas has a few problems right now. They can't sign their players, or they're not content.
I never thought I'd say it. Jerry's become cheap.
Well,
Mike, he's got a certain amount of money that he's willing to spend, and he's not moving off of it. I'm just telling you.
That
seems to be the issue. If it's CeeDee Lamb, if it's Prescott, if it's Micah Parsons, he's got a certain money figure. That's what he's going to pay.
Well,
back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Jay in Metairie. Jay, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a question. So last week, the Saints courted Simmons, and I see the Honey Badger went to dinner with him. I heard that Pete Warner's contract was, they redid it, in order to find the money. Now I read today that Simmons is in Atlanta visiting with the Falcons. So what's the chances of us getting him or not getting him?
Man, listen, all I know is the thing on Pete Warner, that really didn't really affect anything. From a contract standpoint, that just added maybe $1 million to the deal this year. So it's the Pete Werner deal really wasn't a direct effect on anything involving Justin Simmons. Now, what Justin wants and what the Falcons are willing to pay him is another thing. But you're right, Justin was in Atlanta today and will stay tomorrow in Atlanta. And all I can tell you is this. If Arthur Blank, the owner, wants him, he's going to be in Atlanta. Because it was Arthur Blank's decision to draft Michael Penix when that scouting department really wanted the defensive end. They wanted to try to help the team this year. But Mr. Blank, he wanted a deal for down the road with a quarterback. So if he wins over Arthur Blank, and I know they don't have nearly the amount of cap space the Saints do, but, man, you can be real innovative money-wise. That is an intriguing deal that Atlanta, who didn't get the corner they wanted, have had injuries at safety.
Injuries at safety, that's the key.
They would team up Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons.
Well, the injuries at safety and look at the perception of where they're at. Preseason, I know it's preseason. The strongest team from a national perspective to win the NFC South. So, literally, Justin Simmons, Mike, right now, he is a mercenary.
Yeah.
And now, who that nation, with good riddance, he can go to Atlanta. I don't want to hear it. I'm telling you right now, if the Saints gave more money to Justin Simmons than
he'd sign with the Saints.
He'd sign with the Saints. And the Falcons give more money to the Saints, he'd sign with the Falcons. He's going with the money. And you might say, well, he's just greedy. No, he has that kind of stroke. Mike, now the safety position is down as far as what you actually paying safeties right now. But here's a guy that got skins on the wall.
Plenty.
And he's all pro. And here's a guy that has made a lot of money, but he wants to parlay that and saying, I'm not ready to take some kind of discount, maybe like Tyrann Mathieu or Honey Badger. You look at his age. Mike, he's right at 30, right? 30 years old. So you might say, what's that? Honey Badger's not, 4 or 5 years. That's a lot older than him. So that's why, you can like Justin Simmons, don't like him. He's going to end up with the team that pays the most money.
That's the bottom line with it. And now he's got two NFC South teams sort of bidding amongst one another to get him. But the guy here's the most important is Arthur Blank.
The owner.
You can be innovative with contracts.
And Gail Benson will not go against Arthur Blank. That would be like Mickey Loomis going against Arthur Blank.
Right.
Ms. Gail's not getting involved.
Because if Arthur comes in there and he tells Terry Fontenot, you sign Justin Simmons, it'll be, Mr. Blank, we get it, and we're going to get him here in a Falcons uniform. But injuries and the fact that secondary in the practice sessions has been getting beat, Bob, that shows up, and I think they want to make a splash trying to get a guy. If the money's right, for Justin Simmons. Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Ponchatoula. Ponchatoula, you're in the huddle with Mike and Bobby.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
All right, sir.
All right, Ponchatoula.
I want to get y'all take on Trevor Pennington. Watching the other night, I gave him a D. Just want to get y'all take and just try to understand how you can miss so badly on a player like that. Because he just seems like he was just garbage the other night. I mean, I don't know what y'all opinion is, but I kept an eye on him the whole game, and just he was getting dog beat.
The right grade is a D. The right grade is a D for what Trevor did. But you know what? Everybody would have been wrong on Trevor because everybody kind of had him rated in that 17 to 21 range in round one. And we talked about it when he got picked. How could he adjust to an NFL pass rush from a technique standpoint? He looks like the same guy we saw a year ago. From a technique standpoint, he gets beat with a hard inside move. A lot of times he doesn't set his feet well. And, Bob, he gets kind of jacked right back into the lap of a quarterback off the edge.
Well, I think that if he can come downhill, because he is aggressive. He's not passive.
I think run blocking is not the issue.
But sometimes he's overly aggressive. And I always say this at the tackle position. That you don't have to be dominant where you're mauling people. You got to be like a dancing bear. I mean, are you occupying the guy trying to get past you and you chicken fighting with him?
He's got footwork and handwork.
Yes.
I can see it.
No, that's what
easily.
It is. And where I think the scouts and everyone was so enamored with Trevor Penny because he was so aggressive and wanted to just crush people. Well, who's that? It's a violent sport, football.
He was playing too at Northern. And so it's a hard look, because he's dominating everybody at that level as a pass protector.
But he's not – Northern Iowa did not play against a team that had like a Chase Young.
No.
Or whatever. And so then you could be as aggressive as you want to be, and then they just get by you. That's why I'm telling you what's so impressive, like the Willie Rose, Teron Armsteads of the world. And they are dominant. They still got that mean streak, but the finesse. Right now, I guarantee you, Trevor Penning cannot dance. There's no way he can dance.
You don't have the footwork.
You know, you play any kind of music or the DJ and you go on there. I'd like to see Trevor Penning's moves. I bet he's a stiff. He is so stiff that I bet he ain't got no swivel hips and he can't. He's just stiff. I mean, I'll tell you, people think you just got to be a mauler. No, you have to have technique and finesse. As an offensive lineman, especially out on the edge, because the type of guys you're going to be blocking.
Yeah, another thing, too, is which is
So anybody could send a video. I want to know if Trevor Penning probably danced at a wedding or something. I want to see if he ever danced. I want to see his moves, because I guarantee you, I saw that in a game. You know, he's falling on his face on the dance floor.
If it was left tackle or right tackle. If I'm playing against him, I'm coming inside. I'm not too worried about coming off the edge with him because you can see his hand placement is wrong and it's a little stiff. But really his body, lower body adjustments to a real hard inside move is not there. And you just can't stick your hip out. Bob, that guy's going to run right through that hip and get inside on you.
Well, and I said that's why I wish they had the joint practices. And I said this.
Against Bosa?
At the point after, I said, you know what? Usually I watch the skill people, receivers, DBs, and on you watch the ball. I said, I'm going to go watch the line. What our line do against the 49ers line? And I kind of wanted to see, like, okay, Trevor Penning, we saw Chase Young. He gets beat three reps in a row. But it's like with Bosa. To see if he'd be so discouraged that he might just quit. He might say, I'm not doing this anymore. Because Bosa, as dominant, Chase Young was on that 49ers team. As dominant as
Chase Young wasn't the number one banana.
Right. Chase Young, that's what Bosa. I'm saying. Like Bosa or T.J. Watt, no. No, and then you got to chip with the running back and a tight end, help him out, but you can't do that every play.
The other thing, too, is in game two, you're going to see Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Micah Parsons knows that Trevor Penning can't block him. But then they can have a game plan with a tight end running back to help out with that. But Dallas, But Dallas has a few problems right now. They can't sign their players, or they're not content.
I never thought I'd say it. Jerry's become cheap.
Well,
he's got a certain amount of money that he's willing to spend, and he's not moving off of it. I'm just telling you.
That
seems to be the issue. If it's CeeDee Lamb, if it's Prescott, if it's Micah Parsons, he's got a certain money figure. That's what he's going to pay.
Well, play devil's advocate, the other part of that, he's trying to say, well, man, I rewarded Dak with that good contract first off.
Yeah, that was years ago.
But then he kind of looks at it, but what if we won? Think about the Cowgirls. They ain't won jack. Dallas, as far as expectation with their fan base, they might be the last half a dozen years, they might be the most disappointing team in the whole NFL.
Think about it. He tried to convince himself Trey Lance was the guy.
Well, yeah, because he got him from the 49ers.
For the 49ers, sent a fourth-round pick over. Man, I'll watch Trey Lance. He's all off balance throwing the football.
You know who's better than Trey Lance right now? And he's played a number of games. He started in a Cowgirls uniform. Is the white dude, the quarterback. Come on, Mike, his name's slipping my mind. Who backs up Dak Prescott. The quarterback who backs up Dak Prescott, who played. Come on, I can't believe we cannot remember this. Come on, who's the quarterback? He went to small college and stuff. Can nobody know this right now? Cooper Rush. Thank you. Thank you,
Cooper
Charlie.
Rush.
Cooper Rush, right now, Cooper Rush is the guy that he has skins on the wall in a Dallas uniform. He's better than Trey Lance.
He might be, but if Dak couldn't play in game one, guess who's starting?
No, they would want to put Trey Lance.
Because Jerry wants Trey to work out.
Just like
Lynch and Shanahan wanted him to work out.
And if you look at Cooper Rush where he went to school, something like West Texas, Central Michigan, okay, school.
Okay, and then South Dakota State.
Yeah.
But he only started 1 year. That was the chance you took.
But that's why.
49ers paid a lot to get him, too.
But wait, hey, the Saints under the radar. The Cowgirls kind of under the radar because everybody's ticked off at him. So
we'll be back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on our number one of the second guest show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have on with us Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. Will join us. Got a lot more Saints talk to talk about. Saints picking up Shaq Davis a couple days ago to help out receiving corps that's been hurt with some injuries. And Shaq made plays last year in the preseason.
Well, Mike, if you look at last season, the preseason, he had 7 catches, 101 yards in 3 preseason games. Now, he might not be running the right route.
But he made the catch.
But he'd make contested catches at 6'5".
We'll be back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.